Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee and sit back. Let's talk some astrology and some human design and some gene keys. So today I have a lot to talk about, but I'm going to compress it down into some bite-sized pieces for you, right? I don't want to get to rambling on and on today. Because there's some very important things that are happening, and they've been happening in the background, and now they're suddenly bursting out and grabbing us, if as it were, grabbing our attention. And so we're going to focus on some of that energy today. And primarily, this is coming through the planet Pluto. And as you know, we talked about on Monday, the fact that on Sunday, Pluto changes back from retrograde motion into direct motion. And so that fundamentally shifts the planet of empowerment and how it expresses in our lives. So I want to talk about the basis for that this morning. And I want to talk about where that's taking us. And then I also want to talk a bit about Chiron this morning. Chiron has now retrograded back to Pisces, and what does that mean for us? And then I also found it interesting to look at the gene keys this morning through the what the moon and Pluto are bringing us. And there's a striking coherence in the messages. I love it. I just love it when these things come together. So good morning to everybody. Mimi, it's good to see you. It is good to see you, Suzanne. Love that you ladies join us every day. And I can see other people in the background. Welcome, and let's dig in, all right? First of all, big news of the day. Void, of course. The moon is void all day long. From 3:28 this morning, so what, 5 hours ago or so, and all the way until just after midnight tomorrow morning. So 16 minutes into the new day tomorrow, it changes to direct or back to making a connection, and that will be when it changes signs out of when the moon changes signs out of Aries and into the sign of Taurus. So that will shift also the energy that we've been experiencing this week. When the moon's in Aries, it brings up the planet Mars. So there's confrontation, there's conflict, inner and outer. There can be emotional blowups, there can be emotional struggles going on between people. I've experienced all of that since the full moon, which was, by the way, in Aries. So we've all had a lot of emotional energy just running below the surface, perhaps, and then at times just busting out at us and jumping out into our day-to-day life. And thankfully, that's about to shift. But there are some lasting consequences to some of this emotional energy that the moon has dredged up for us. And some of that has to do with the fact that the moon has been, and it does this, it's not like this is brand new, hello, this is not something new. The moon has been in various phases of a conjunction to a trine, to a square, to an inconjunct, to the planet Pluto. And it does this on a regular basis. So that's not new. But what is interesting about that is the striking number of emotional things that have been triggered through all of us at various times over the last maybe 5 months while Pluto has been in retrograde. So for example, first of all, let me go back for a second and remind you what the void of course moon is. The void of course moon is the term that we give it when the moon is no longer making any new connections for an extended period of time. So I say, for example, that the moon is squaring Pluto, but that actually occurred at just before the moon went void of course this morning. But it's still in force. It hasn't gone away. It's that there aren't any new connections happening, right? So we often will look at what the last connection is that the moon made before it turned VOC, void of course, to give us an idea of what the lasting energy would be for that time period of the void of course. I hope that makes sense. If it doesn't, ask your questions in the chat area, and you know, let me know how things are going out there. Give me a heads up, like a happy face, I'm doing good. Sad face, not doing so good today. Tell me, you know, via your chat there how things are going out there, because we are now sitting in an extended period of this emotional deep dive of the confrontation between the moon and Pluto. There's an entire book, by the way. I don't know if I have it sitting up here in front of me. I probably don't. I might. Oh, no, I don't see it. There's a book called The Hades Moon. And The Hades Moon is about the people who are born with powerful connections between their moon and the planet Pluto, because it often drives an intensity in that individual of emotions, of the expression of those emotions, of the struggles that pop up for power and strengthening oneself in the world. And thank you, Suzanne. I think Suzanne is feeling all of the emotions, from happy, sad, angry. Well, maybe I'm misinterpreting that. Is that laughter? Is that tears? I'm going to show it. You guys tell me. So there's angry, there's laughter, there's consternation and sadness. So yeah, I think that's kind of the feeling that we're all kind of getting right now, right? Oh, good morning, Debbie. She's getting her hair done right now. Woohoo! That's a good thing to have done right now, by the way. Suzanne Gale says, good day, Wednesday to all. Good morning to you all. Yeah, so there's a lot of emotional energy in the air. Mad, sad, happy, glad. Yeah, I get it, Suzanne. I get it. Those are powerful emotions that, and I've experienced them all myself over the last couple of days. And, you know, emotions are powerful and they can move you to make mistakes. They can move it, your emotional, whatever it is that you're experiencing emotionally can cause you to make decisions in the moment that are not correct for you. And this is one of those things that I've experienced many times in my life, where that emotional connection to whatever it is that's happening, whether it's joy, whether it's anger, whether it's sadness, whether it's frustration, depression, melancholy, you name it, whatever that is, can create compulsive behaviors where, or even impulsive behaviors, right? Where you just knee jerk in reaction to the emotion and blow up your life, or, you know, do any number of things. You don't have to be at that extreme end of things. You could be at the, you know, less extreme end of things, but the result is the same. The possibility for compulsive behavior can create trouble in your personal relationships, in your work, in your day-to-day life, right? Anybody heard of, what is that called? Retail therapy, right? Retail therapy, because there's so much emotional energy, you don't know what to do with it. So you take all those desires and you package them up and you go out to the mall. And then later you find yourself in a position of not liking what you've done because now the budget's hurting, or, you know, any number of things that happen after you do something like that. Gail says, I'm taking an Epsom salt bath right now to release all this and relax my spirit. Go girl. And she's doing that before she goes to work today. Awesome. Suzanne and Debbie are loving one another. Oh my God, I already did that this morning with my son. Not the Epsom salt bath, right? No, you're talking about releasing emotion with your son. Anyway, so there's this, good morning, Anne. Good to see you from Bulgaria. She's all ears. I love it. So we have a lot of this emotional entanglement kind of energy. And I think if I'd really been paying much attention instead of being all in the emotion, I would have noticed this was building. I would have noticed that this was building through the whole time that the moon has been in Aries, because the moon, remember, is the ruler of the sign Cancer. It's intuitive. It's nurturing. It's protective, right? Very protective. And now you put it in a sign like Aries that's filled with the energy of Mars, which is confrontation and conflict. And what you get is a recipe for intertwining emotion and blow up, right? So in the mundane world, Mars would rule dynamite while the moon rules the fuse, right? The match that lights the fuse. So we have combustible energy. We have combustible emotional energy leading us to possible compulsive behavior, to emotional power struggles with others. And the real juice in this connection is for our ability to do the deep dive. Because when we're looking now today, the moon all day long, thanks to the VOC moon, is sitting in connection to Pluto. And it was, you know, even though the moon might be moving away from that square to Pluto, the lasting impression is long time, long term, because of the connection it made before the void of course moon. So it's almost like, here's this dump of this emotional energy. Thank you. I will see you later when I move into Taurus, which isn't until after midnight. So for the foreseeable future, i.e. all day today and into the evening, we are left with the possibility of doing a deep dive. And I would say do it, right? Do it. Do the deep dive. When you look in the mirror and it, with courage, right? Moon in Aries can give us courage. The courage, the strength, the ability to look in the mirror deeply, not as a reason to create anxiety or to beat yourself up, but to see clearly through a glass darkly, right? That's how we live our lives most of the time, through this darkness, this veil of not really understanding what it is that's happening for us or to us. We interpret it as to us. Now, let me shift a titch here, because this becomes really important because of Chiron. Chiron today, as I said earlier in the piece this morning, the planet Chiron has shifted backwards now into Pisces. So for the previous 7 year or so period of time, while Chiron was transiting through Pisces, we were experiencing right in our face victim, martyr, salvation kind of energies, and learning about how to surrender to a higher source, to God, to whatever you want to call it, universal mind, to goddess, it doesn't matter, but to a higher power, even, you know, to your higher self, and surrendering and trusting, a word that's been blaring at me for the last several days, trusting in benevolent outcomes, trusting that even if on the surface it looks like things are in chaos or being destroyed, that there's a higher purpose to it all. And the quest, the hero's quest, if you will, in all of this, the path of the wounded healer in all of this, because Chiron is the wounded healer, is about really looking at your victim state. Look at your victim state. Where are you being a victim? I've been here. I am here. I've been here a lot over the last couple of months. And I think it's, you know, partly due, first of all, because Chiron had made that shift into Aries. So we were looking at all those things about ourselves where we weren't standing in our own true power, where we weren't using courage as a way to move forward, where we were holding ourselves back. And now the planet has retrograded back and we get to look back again at the victim things. Where are we still not clear of that victim mind? Now, I don't know that we're going to be able to clear the victim mind here in the next couple of months. There's a lot going on in the world and a lot that triggers that victim in us. But the more work, the more we know about this, and the more that we are willing to do this, to look in that mirror and see that shadow, look behind you and see what is that shadow doing, then the more we overcome that victim mentality here on the planet. And literally, this is our evolution, right? Our evolution. I did post the Gene Key 55 information on my Living Astrology page, the PDF file of it. For those of you who do not have the book Gene Keys, I posted the Gene Key 55 because this is our evolution from victim and victimization to freedom. Literally, nothing is sitting at this gate right now, nothing. But that gives us an opportunity. It's not like it's, you know, come to a crescendo or a point yet, but that is what is working in the background. So we have this moment to be able to take a look at that. And I want you to look then at the gate that Chiron is sitting at, because it's echoing the earth this week. And that's the gate 25, which in its lowest aspect is the gate of constriction. Constriction, tightening up, right? You know, why are you in a bath, Gail? Because you're trying to loosen up from having been all anxiety ridden or anxious, right? You know, we feel it when you feel constriction when your shoulders are up underneath your neck, or when you've, you know, come in, open up your chest, drop your shoulders, relax. There you are in the gift of Chiron in this particular place, and that is acceptance. Acceptance brings us into the now, right? Into the now. We talked a bit about this week as well, being in the now. And one of the reasons why we get out of the now is because we have expectations. And what are expectations doing for us? Expectations divert the appreciation of the moment, right? Of the being here in the now. Suzanne says, I need a bath. I don't have a bathtub. I have a beautiful, wonderful shower, but no bathtub. So if I want to get in the water and soak, it's out there in the ocean, and that's cold. Not doing it. Too cold. So Gail says, wow, I feel this move happening within my current circumstance from the old victimization to the new me. I feel that too. I really do. I don't know what it's going to mean for me in the future. And that isn't my concern at the moment, right? Because that takes me into the future and not here in the now. Right here in the now, I'm sitting here with you enjoying this talk, helping people get clarity on their lives. And by the way, I also get clarity in my own life when I am working with you all. That's the beauty of doing what I do, is you are all just mirrors for me, as I should be a mirror for all of you. My struggles, my day-to-day emotional field, all of that are also mirrors for you all, because we're all in this together. We're all on this stage together. So it's really interesting when we start to look at what's, you know, I can take anybody's issues, Debbie, Gail, Suzanne, Mimi, anybody's, right? And I can look, go, what is this showing me about me, right? When you're struggling, I'm struggling. I just don't know it unless I really am willing to look in that mirror, because you're in my world. It doesn't mean I have to take on your issues. It doesn't mean you guys have to take on mine, but we're in each other's world. So what does that mean? Doing that is really favored right now, because the moon is making this last square to Pluto while Pluto is in retrograde, while we're working with that inside, while we're working with that inner plane, while we're working with that inner you, right? When we get to Sunday, Pluto changes direction, and then its connection to the moon every month is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be more outer worldly. You'll get to see the reflection of the inner changes that you've made, the inner emotional growth that you've gone through, but you'll see it reflected to you in your outer world. So we have this, you know, give and this take between the moon as it dances with all of the different planets, but in particular, Pluto, because Pluto spends so much time in retrograde, right? We almost forget that all of this stuff that's happening inwardly over this longer 5.5 to 6 month period of time is going to now be reflected to us in the outer world over the next 6 months. Right. So September to October, November, December, January, February, March, before Pluto goes back to retrograde motion. So much interesting information to be had there, and Chiron factoring it in here, because Chiron triggers the wound. It triggers that. It's playing into all of this. And right now we're going to be looking at in our expectations and how that diverts our attention, our appreciation of where we are in this moment. And so I thought we would take a look then at the gene keys that both the moon and Pluto are sitting at. And I'm actually going to read to you directly from the Gene Keys book. By the way, the Gene Keys, if for those of you who might be new and listening to us, Richard Rudd, Gene Keys, Unlocking the Higher Purpose Hidden in Your DNA. Love this book. Look how thick it is. This is not a look. I've dog-eared it. I've got all kinds of stuff in it. This is not a book that you read from cover to cover. It is a contemplation. We open it up to a specific place and we look at the layers that are revealed to us in that contemplation. So this morning we are contemplating a gene key that you and I have not yet talked about, and that's the gate 42 or the gene key 42. In the gene keys, it's titled Letting Go of Living and Dying. Letting Go of Living and Dying. It's an interesting name. In human design, the gene key 42 is a number, the gate of starting things. I always get that wrong. I think I just got that wrong. Hold on. 42. Why do I always get that mixed up? Because I don't carry either of these genes and I have an open head and an open ajna. So I don't hold on to things that don't mean anything for me. So 42 is the gate of completion in human design, while 53 is the gate of starting things. So in this then, what are we learning? Here's the key. Waiting at the expectation station. The shadow is expectation, as you might have guessed. Almost all human beings are waiting at the expectation station. Expectation is the most profound mark of humanity. It is the dream that the future holds a greater promise than the now. Somewhere inside us, we are all waiting for our lives to improve, for a great day somewhere in the future when finally all will be exactly as we dream it can be. Somehow we will receive all the money we need. Our lives will be perfect and we will have absolute freedom to do all the things we have always wanted to do, but not now. First, we have to clear a few things up before we can be truly happy. And so we go on postponing and postponing until we are old. And then, of course, it's almost too late. In fact, it's never too late to be in the now. You have only to see through the futility of your personal expectations. If you can do this totally and with absolute honesty, you will discover one of the secrets of being human and being happy. The 42nd shadow is that aspect within your genetics responsible for keeping you always sitting at the expectation station. It does this by entangling your desires with your mind. I could go on because there's so many more profound things to read here, but that's kind of boring to read. Not boring to read, but read to you. So where are we sitting at the expectation station, right? I love that phrase, the expectation station, because that is the shadow of this particular time period we're in, right? The expectation. And where expectation, and it's not that, you know, having expectations are necessarily a bad thing. Let's rename them. Instead of expectations, let's call them maybe desires and being honest about what it is I desire. But unfortunately, with expectation, it gets connected up in the mind. And what does the mind do? Well, the mind takes it and runs with it and points out every blasted thing that doesn't align with that expectation. And then it takes it one step further and then starts, you know, pointing out all your deficiencies. Well, you're not good enough. You're not good enough, so you can't have that, right? The more you expect or the more you align with expectation, the less likely you are going to be able to create that desire, because you're always looking forward and not at what is planted here in front of you. It's so fascinating, right? Because the moon is sitting at 42, while Pluto, I love you, Pluto, is at 54. And 54 is the gate of ambition and drive. In the lowest shadow, it is greed. Greed is the desire to accumulate material goods, right? From the material world. The second, the gift, is aspiration. And aspiration is the desire to attain something of a more spiritual nature, of a more lasting nature. And the Siddhi in this particular gate, ascension, a very loaded word if you ask me. And Richard defines ascension as the alchemical transformation of matter into spiritual essence. And it's really interesting to find as you start looking at the planet of power and empowerment sitting at the gate of either greed, aspiration, or ascension, depending on how you're expressing it in your life, because there's so much going on in the world, right in our faces, right here in this country. I know some of you are listening to us from other countries, but here in this country, there's so much going on in our faces about power, power struggles, right? Isn't it interesting to watch this dynamic? It's almost a, I just thought of this. This is a Saturn re-re. Some of you might remember back in, I think it was 1990 or 1991, the Anita Hill, Clarence Thomas debacle, the charges of sexual harassment and how all of that turned. It was another Supreme Court nominee, Clarence Thomas, and a woman who came forward with some really horrific accusations, things that she had endured as a woman in a male-dominated world. And in the end, he gets confirmed as a Supreme Court justice. He gets rewarded for bad behavior, essentially, and that's in the 90s. Now, fast forward a Saturn cycle, 28 and a half years or so, right? Because that's where we are right now with another one, right? Now we have Kavanaugh and we have two women coming forward. And I'm not talking, you know, it doesn't matter about the level of the offense. It's not about that. And it's really the fact that it is allowed to exist at all in our system of government. If it were reversed and Kavanaugh was a woman and there were men that were coming forward saying how she, you know, was using her her sex as a way to manipulate the office or, you know, to get what she wanted, I would have the same feeling, right? The lesson is the same. It's about a power struggle. It's a power struggle, plain and simple. Whether you label it Republicans and Democrats, whether you label it male and female, masculine, feminine, she's right, he's wrong, whatever you label it at, it's a power struggle between the two. And we have to have the aspiration to strive for something better than this, something better than loading our courts with the male patriarchy, the masculine energy. Can I rephrase that? Because I don't want to beat up on the masculine. We love the masculine. We have to have the masculine. We wouldn't be procreating on this planet if we didn't have masculine energy. So let's look at it as the healthy masculine, an empowered masculine, not empowered to steal through greed and power used corruptly from the feminine, but the masculine in his beautiful power, his protection, his enacting of the values that the feminine lays down. We have our world so bass-ackwards, right? It's so upside down. So I encourage all of you, no matter what happens, and of course tomorrow during the time of the hearing, I almost feel badly for both parties tomorrow because the sun tomorrow is in a trine with Mars. There's a lot of conflict to be had tomorrow. And I wish I had a crystal ball and I could tell you that Kavanaugh is going to die on the vine and not be affirmed, or that, you know, he is going to be affirmed, get used to it and be ready to deal with the outcome of that. I wish I knew, but I don't, right? Because things happen in the moment. I have my guess as to what's going to happen, but I don't know for sure. But I do know that there is a lot of energy tomorrow for all of us. And it comes because the sun, our ego, personality energies in a trine. So the ease and flow of energy back and forth between the sun and Mars, the masculine principle, both masculine, by the way, the sun masculine, Mars masculine. Who do you think wins tomorrow? And I can't help but look at it as a win-lose, right? Because there's no consciousness in what is happening there. There's really very little consciousness in what is happening there. It's still very much in reaction, and in reaction to an old paradigm, not necessarily yet the new paradigm. And don't forget, tomorrow, this man is really literally just in his early 50s. You know, barring any unforeseen health challenges, he's going to be on the court for a very long time, impacting decisions for possibly 20 plus years. So the stakes are huge. But the astrology of it pretty much shows us that the masculine energy has the upper hand again. Unless we do something about it. I don't know. I'm not going to come down right on it and say that's the case, but we do have these two masculine planets and a hesitation on the part of the feminine to really rise up and say, no way, not in my world. I read a really beautiful, if not necessarily well-written, opinion by Alyssa Milano on, I think it was on Saturday or Sunday. So you might, I think it was in Twitter. I read it, maybe Instagram. I don't know about this whole idea. She was appealing to the two Republican women, Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins, I believe, one from Maine and the other from Alaska, the Republican senators, I believe, that are women, to tip the scales, right? To come down on the side of the feminine and say, reject this kind of behavior, to say under no certain circumstances, I don't care that I'm a Republican. I care that there have been abuses by the masculine against the feminine. And by elevating this man to the highest court in the land, we are ensuring that there is more time, another quarter of a century, perhaps, of that kind of energy being possibly enacted, right? Imbalancing the court, unbalancing the court. So fascinating times we live in, and made even more fascinating by the fact that Saturn and Pluto both are in Capricorn, a sign of government and a sign of corporations, corporate America, a sign that in its negative really appeals to the greed, to the masculine energy, sort of the more negative energies out there that we think of people that are more interested in their personal and their ruthlessness than they are in the more group mind. And of course, we really don't begin to see that shift in any real way until Pluto gets his little butt out of Capricorn and into Aquarius, which doesn't really happen until 2023. So then we have about a 20-year or so process of Pluto weeding out that part of things that have happened during the transit through Capricorn. So just craziness, right, in our outer world. But it's also a symbol. It is a symbol of what is happening for each of us internally, right? So you could look at the Supreme Court and all of this, you know, debacle that's going on and ask the question, what is that? What part of me is resonating with that? Right. There was an interesting moment yesterday in my life, and I'm not going to tell you the circumstances surrounding it because really it's like ridiculous, but where I caught myself in the process of saying and doing something, but I had a hidden agenda. There was a hidden agenda. There was something hidden that I really wanted that person that I was talking to say or to do. But I was presenting it in a way that was completely opposite of that. And I watched myself doing this as I'm saying what I'm saying, and I'm recognizing that underneath it all, I wanted a different thing, right? It was weird. You know, it was really weird. And, you know, it was coming through an emotional cloud, no doubt. But, you know, observing that in ourselves, like what are we really doing here? What was I really after? If I were honest with myself, and I encourage all of us to be honest with ourselves, and it is the hardest thing to be honest with yourself and see yourself in your manipulation mode, right? Manipulation mode. And to be able to heal that within yourself. So using everything in your outer world as a call for you to look more inward. What does that mean for me? And it may mean nothing to you. I'm not saying that just because we're seeing this in the outer world and, you know, you're to blame. Nope, that isn't what I'm saying. But if you're perturbed by it, if you are disgusted by it, empowered by it, you've got to look at what it is that's going on within you. Right? There was another interesting piece I read, I don't know when, it was yesterday, actually. I think it was a news article Ken Starr had written. And Ken Starr, if you recall back in the days of Clinton, he was the Mueller of the day, right? He was the special prosecutor that was put in place to determine whether President Bill Clinton had committed crimes that were impeachable or had, you know, had impeachable offenses. And of course, we know at that point in time, he was impeached. He was not removed from office, but he was impeached. And they're two separate things. They're part of the same process, but two separate things. Anyway, the point Ken Starr was making was almost ridiculous. When he's an intelligent man. He's an intelligent man. And I believe that we are all intelligent people. And instead of his vote going to Trump because he truly believed in him, he voted, as he says, I'm not quoting, but it was basically, I'm voting for the lesser of two evils because I believe in less government. He believes in less government, so he voted for Trump. There's something wrong when we have a system that is only allowing for two choices, one being the lesser of two evils. Something very, very wrong there, right? We're third party candidates, and I'm not saying advocating for any one of the candidates, but where a Bernie Sanders type person can come in as a third party and not gain as much traction as, he obviously gained some traction, but he's never really considered a viable party, right? We're limiting ourselves to an us versus them there's just something insane about that. And it's ingrained in us in a polarity of sorts. So of course, we as individuals are also polarized in that. I don't know what the answer is to all of this, but I know it begins with me personally looking at in my own life where I'm polarized or where I maybe set myself up for only to the ability to make a decision between the lesser of two evils for blank sake. That's not even logical. I mean, I can't, in any one of our streams of knowing in human design, I can't even come down on logic being something that's possible here because it's not logical. We have to make some changes, but we also got to look at what it is. You know, there's no mistake that this is happening in our outer world right now. It's a repeat. It's a repeat, right? 28 years ago or so, we were looking at this same energy, the same almost exact situation, a Supreme Court justice in a position of being affirmed to the court and a woman coming forward and saying, wait, not so fast. He's an abuser, right? We have that same situation today. It really is interesting. Saturn wasn't in Capricorn at that. Well, yes, Saturn was in Capricorn at that point in time too. Pluto wasn't. But now we have both a planet that empowers or can equally destroy sitting there. So the outcome, who knows? I think the best way for me to have looked at that would be to know the astrology of the two individuals involved. And I don't know what that is. I'm sure someone out there has Kavanaugh's birth information and the other woman's, Blasey's, information, but I don't have that right now at my fingertips. So anyway, it'll be an interesting day tomorrow, but for each of us, what does it mean? What does it mean for you as an individual? Let's take a look at some of the content people are writing. Gail says, every person I spoke to said the same exact same thing about their vote. And it's sad. Yes, very sad. Very, very sad. Jan says, good morning, Jan. I don't think I said good morning to you. Politicians are all the same, man or woman. Anne says, a part of me would love to see what changes would happen if women got the floor for a while. Not forever, but just to see, you know. Obvious balance is better overall. Of course, you're right. Mimi says, she's going to throw this in. Avenatti, who's a man, appears to be one heck of an advocate for women. I am not sure. Michael Avenatti, I'm going to do a little bit of research on him too, because I've heard you, Mimi, speak of him, or you threw out that name a couple of days ago, and I'm not really even sure who he is. So maybe you can let us know here who he is. I'm not sure. Debbie says, I'd go for that, Mimi. good. Suzanne, me too. Debbie says, I'd go for that. I'd love all women to be in power, but I personally think this is the problem right now. We go from one extreme to the opposite extreme. Both are, in my mind, incorrect. It'd be nice to have balance. Debbie, that in and of itself is absolutely the problem, is the extremes when the pendulum swings from one extreme to the other extreme. That is why we can't just have a two-party system here anymore, right? Because we swing from one extreme to the other. We never come landing right here, smack in the middle, where we have this balanced idea of government, where we have a balanced idea of what it means to be a man and a woman, or the masculine and the feminine energy. We're always polarized. Now, granted, we did come to a planet where duality is the name of the game, right? 12 hours of darkness, 12 hours of light, right? Day, night, light, dark. I mean, everything about being on this planet speaks to that duality, right? So that duality, we see it everywhere. It doesn't mean that we can't come to a balance point, though, in recognition of what it is that we're doing, why it is we're doing what we're doing. What does it really mean, right? What does it really mean? What, if you look at, if you just take Kavanaugh and then you take the woman whose name is escaping me, gosh darn it, Blasey, I think is her last name. What do they represent for us? Take away the fact that he's this, you know, man and she's a woman. Take them away. Take that away. What's left? What do they represent? He represents the traditional, the old way, right? She represents the female in its victimhood, trying to reach out, trying to give up the victim and become empowered. You guys are going to hate me for this one probably, but we see the same thing going on in the struggle between nations. The concept of superpower has had its day. So what we see happening here in the United States, as we are being dragged down, it seems so real that we're being dragged down, is that the concept of a nation like the United States being the only superpower has come to a point where it's not sustainable, right? We have other nations that are, you know, coming, who have different values, who have grown on their values in equal measure. So we have, in terms of the Mayan calendar and what it was pointing us toward in the evolution of consciousness, was the demise of nations, right? Where it becomes more holistic, it becomes more global. And the reaction is, you could see it yesterday in Trump's speech to the UN, is that a rejection of globalism. We still want to hold to our nation, to our national identity, to our superpower status, to the status quo. Kavanaugh and Blasey represent the status quo. They represent the status quo. Will it ever change? It doesn't change until we recognize that we need to change individually, right? Individually. Let's see. Debbie says, I'd love all women. Oh, no, that was an old one. Sorry. Cindy, happy day. Much light to each on this bright day. Lovely. Avenatti is the attorney for Stormy Daniels. Yes, you're right. Oh, okay. Gotcha. He's a bulldog versus a shark. I love that. Okay. Anyway, so we have lots to think about, I think, you know, what in our world, lots to think about for us as individuals. And a lot of that is about how do we empower ourselves? How do we remain in the now? How do we remain in this moment? Right. I know that and this is funny because I've been spending the last several days in the future, right? I'm putting together information for a project on the moons for 2019, for the energies of 2019. So I'm already into July and August of next year. I'm like, it drives you crazy a little bit to live that far into the future. I mean, there's, you know, value in looking in the future, but I've had to do a deep dive into these, you know, months coming. And as I've been doing that, I've been like, wow, you know, how much of what I'm saying now will be true then? I mean, certainly the transits will be the same. That part won't change, but how they're expressed could be completely different, depending on how each of us as individuals rise to the challenge of the next few months. To the next day, to today. So anyway, interesting stuff. So thinking about Pluto at gate 54, what are we aspiring to? And our aspiration then comes from our values. What do you value as a person? What do we value as a human, as humanity? You could say, what do we value as a community, a state, a country, a nation? And of course, that is all a process of attaining the desire to attain something of a more spiritual nature and not just the attempt to gain more in the material dimension, right? That's greed. Ay-yi-yi, lots to think about. So by the way, the moon at 42 in its highest celebration. I wish I could, you know, if I hit a button here and put some music on, celebrate good times, celebration. And that celebration is as a result of detachment, the gift in the gate 42, detachment. So from expectation, we go to detachment. I don't know about you, but that seems upside down to me, but that's because we have been clouded in the, as I read to you through the Gene Keynes, humanity is all about that expectation of what will happen in the future. So yeah, I like that. Gail just put up the little celebration, the party favors. Love it. So celebration, yes, coming from detachment. Whoa. I'll leave you with that today to contemplate. Lots of good stuff to contemplate for the day. Don't be afraid to look in that mirror. Let me leave you with that one. Don't be afraid to look in that mirror. Don't be afraid. Have the courage to see what part you're playing in all of this. Where are you stuck in an old mindset? Where are you in victim mode? Where are you in expectation of something so far down the line that you fail to live in the juicy moment of the now? And have a great day. I'll see you all tomorrow morning, right here, 8 o'clock a.m. Pacific time and 11 a.m. East Coast time. Mwah! Much love to all of you. See you then. Bye for now.